Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to MotoCap News on Monday, the 30th of June, 2025. God, it's a hot one, isn't it? And I tell you what, the markets, AIM especially, is warming up. But I am sitting here in my office sweating. Thought I'd give you that picture. You're welcome. But looking at AIM today, it's quite interesting. It's at 770. Now, I've said previously on the podcast, it needs to break this, get above that. It is on that. So previous resistance was pretty much 768. So now it's 770. So good sign. But it's an odd market today. I've had a company hit an all-time high, which is Time Finance. I mentioned that last week. I thought, you know, the trading update received very well, ahead of expectations. The seventh ahead of expectations since January 2023. And, of course, sometimes on results day, it's a liquidity event and you can get some selling going on so you can suppress the share price before it actually makes the proper move. So it has been up now, what is it, three, 4 days since that? Yeah, 2 days. But it's an all-time high, 65 pence. But also one of the most stocks is Ramsden's. Also, you know, ahead of expectations recently. A bit of a sell-off today, 7.3%, which it may not sound large, if you're in nanocaps or in Bitcoin treasury stocks, because they can go up and down like crazy, can't they? It's literally nuts. But it is quite a big sell-off for Ramsden. I don't know why. Maybe it's the end of H1. Maybe some fund managers, you know, locking in their profits to show a good H1 result. I don't know. But it's a cracking business. It's one of these companies I think will go on for years and years. And I keep saying this. It's basically a cookie-cutter operation. It's copy and paste. The stores they've done, what, they've got 170 stores now? And so they know exactly what they're doing. And I think in the last, well, since they were listed, revenues more than doubled, profits more than tripled. And that shows a company that can, you know, expand efficiently. The margins are getting better as their revenue is going up, a bit like Time Finance. But again, ahead of expectations on the, they've had one, two, three, four now, five, six, seven since 2017. Eight, actually. It keeps improving. Gold price is still strong, so that shouldn't affect it. So I think it's just, you know, maybe some kind of fund manager, you know, just selling it a little bit, say, we're in profit for each one. Yes, done very well. And that scared a few investors. I'm certainly not getting out of this because fundamentally, it's a very strong business. And like I said, I see this carrying on for years. They're always performing very well. So anyway, let's look at the markets, shall we? Let's go to sort of, the FTSE 100 down actually 0.4% to 8760. We've got the FTSE 250, that's down 0.4% as well. What else is there? There's the small cap down 0.1%, 7185, and the AIM All Share up 0.17% to 770. Like I mentioned, Brent crude down 1%. God, it's had a heck of a rally, that, hasn't it? It went up to $78 in about a week. And now it's come back down to $66. What else have we got? Gold, it's up $3,310. I think it's in a consolidation period. I still think there's lots of uncertainty. Even the American markets, which is, I find this a bit crazy. They are hitting all-time highs. You often get that. You had a big sell-off in April. Scares all the shorts out, all the sellers out. And then, you know, if the sellers are cleared and everything comes back in, the algorithmic traders coming back in, buying it, of course, trading machines. Same with NASDAQ. Is it all-time high? All-time high. But I'm not confident in this rally at all. I think it's the relief rally from the trade, you know, from the tariffs and stuff. But I'm not that confident it's going to last, to be honest. What else have we got? The fledgling. Fledgling is stalled a little bit today. It's down 0.1%. But it is at a 52-week high, pretty much. Let's look at the commodities, shall we? Gold's there. I mentioned that, didn't I? I'm all over the place today. It's the heat. It's getting to me. It's funny, isn't it? When we had a few dodgy days last week, I was thinking, where's the heat gone? Now the heat's back, and thinking, what the heck is going on? We've had two heat waves in, what, a week? Week and a half? That's unusual, isn't it? I mean, a lot of people, you know, there's always climate deniers, but that is unusual. Copper. It's down 0.6% to, 11,222. Not far off a recent high. You got to 11,500, and now 11,220. So not far off that. Let's look at the sort of government debt. So 2-year yield, it's down 0.6% to 3.8. The 10-year yield, it's down 0.4% to 4.4. And the 30-year, it's up a smidge, flat pretty much, 5.2% yield there. A pound will buy you €1.16, it'll buy you $1.37. Okay, micro caps. There's a lot of companies out today. And to be honest, that's why it's taken me so long, as well as companies reporting late. And so I'm going to say ignore a load of these, okay? I haven't even bothered filling in, you know, some of them I have, started filling in them on my website, but most of them are just loss-making or they're not improving, or both. They're loss-making and not improving. So ignore Bellascura, Cloud Coco, Affinity Networks, Oxford Biodynamics, Iomart Group, My Health Checked, Silver Bullet Data Services, Cimec Atlantis Energy, Team PLC, Verici DX, and Westminster Group. And I say that, I'm not saying you can't earn money in those. You may have some that will rise and drop and fall, but I see them as not profitable companies. I recently did, I posted a blog on the website at sharepickers.com for members, 7 traits of 7-10 baggers. And the interesting fact was, they're all revenue generating, they're all profitable, apart from one company which was loss making for a year, but all had revenue growth, and then all of them, apart from one, had profitable growth, and in fact, the losses came down a lot in that 1 year they make a loss. Next year, they're all making profit. So if you're looking for sustainable big rises, companies generating revenue and profits, growing those revenue and profits, are the key, okay? You may get pop and drops in loss-making stocks, but if you really want sustainable gains over multiple years, they're basically good businesses, outperforming the rest of the market because they're growing the revenue and profits. And in fact, something like they had, in the years I recorded them, which some of them went on for many years, had 90% revenue growth and something like 75% double-digit revenue growth. And it was a bit less for profit, but it was, you know, it's like, I think it was about 70% for profitable growth and about 52% for double-digit profitable growth. So if you want to achieve a minimum, that those were a minimum 10 baggers, I think one of them did 11,000%, one of them did 9,000%. You have to look for good businesses generating revenue and profits that are growing those revenue and profits. Simple as that. So I haven't got time to look for companies that may become profitable. There's too many out there. There's too many in fact, some of those are just downright wrong ones. They've been doing the same thing for many years, making a loss, and they have to, you know, raise money again and again and again. And that is not the formula for a long-term sustainable winner. Okay, let's look at the microcap database. I'm just going to cover, it's so many companies released today, but I'm just going to cover some of the ones which are more interesting. So I'm looking at, you know, microcap companies that are commercial and profitable. Okay, that's what I want. So first and foremost, and I'm doing these by alphabetical order, these are in the database. I'm looking at right now Advanced ADVT, the vehicle of Vin Murray, who I think I interviewed her when she first listed this. She first took this on, I think. But anyway, they provide software solutions and platform across two business transformational. Sorry, let me say that again. They provide software solutions and platform across two business transformational areas, business solutions and compliance and human capital management. So they've acquired lots of different businesses, and in fact they did one a day, as well as their final results. But here's the tail of the tape here. Market cap, 225 million. Enterprise value, 136. So I'm quite happy with that. In fact, I did discover that these 10 baggers, by the way, 7-10 baggers, one of the traits was size. Of course, a company to do 10 bags has to start quite small because it has a 10 bag and has room to grow. And I found that of the 7 companies, 4 companies were sub 100 million market cap, and 2 companies were between 100 and 200 million, and 1 company was, well, between 200 and 300 million. So I'm now, you know, increasing the size a little bit. I mean, predominantly, it's still, the majority is still microcap, sub 100 million. But if they've got enterprise value of 136, that's fine. Anyway, so what are the comments on this? Revenue grew by 105% to 43 million versus 21 million. This was boosted by acquisitions, but organic revenue grew by 17.8% and adjusted EBITDA increased by 90%. Profit tax rose 116% to 11.3 million versus 5.2. Cash increased by 8% to 88.5 million versus 82. And they generated a free cash inflow of 2.9 versus outflow of 25 million. So on the metrics I'm looking for there, they've improved on every single one. Revenue, profit, cash. Forecast, 26. Revenue growth of 19% to 51 million. Net profit growth of 17% to 12.7. At 165 a share, this will put them on a PE of 17, which I think is reasonable for double-digit growth. That ticks a lot of boxes there. And, of course, you've got Vin Murray at the helm. And she's got, if you don't know about Vin Murray, check her out. Like I said, I think I did an interview with her many years ago, when this was first listed. Secondly, so yeah, I'm going to focus on a bit of quality here. Amcomri Group, I've been saying about this company for a while, which is annoying, because I said this is one to watch back in May. So if you listen to the podcast then, let me just, AMCO, Amcomri. In May, they were literally, 20th of May I said this, they were 51 pence a share. They're now 111 a share. Okay. which is slightly annoying. But they have a market cap now of 79 million, enterprise value 81, and they announced today a £12 million contract. And they should have said this, they should have flagged it up a bit more. But this contract here, they mention, rather than use the stock phrases ahead of expectations, they said, it'll further improve our earnings prospects for 25-26. Now, the brokers upgraded their forecast here. So this is ahead of expectations. This has impacted positively their financial results. Hugh Whitcomb, CEO founder, says, we are delighted to have secured this significant milestone contract within the renewable energy sector that further reinforces the group's embedded engineering capability and technical service offering, whilst further improving our earnings prospects for 25-26. They listed in December 24 as a buy, improve and build group focusing on the acquisition, integration and enhancement of specialist engineering services and industrial manufacturing businesses that provide technical services to major UK infrastructure. So for 2024, revenue increased by 2%, profit before tax went up by 16%, net debt reduced by 80% to 2.13 and free cash flow turned positive to 3.25. Forecast 25... in fact, this has been upgraded here, but let's have a look. Forecast 25 are top line growth of 25% and net profit of, well, an improvement of 275% at 3.9 million. That would put them on a PE of 20, which, to be honest, like I say, double digit growth. That isn't too bad. It has rallied strongly, so it would be nice if it consolidated, came down a little bit. But I think this is a. It's looking like, shaping up to be a very decent company. It's hard to tell when companies first list. You don't really know because the figures are, a lot of adjustments going on, is listing costs and all that stuff. But this is doing very well. Out of the blocks, this company is running. It's almost, sprinting at the moment. It'll need a, of course, this is a marathon. Someone should tell this company it's a marathon. It may need a breather regarding the share price, but I think it's definitely one worth watching. AMCO's ticker. There. What else is there? Adventure Life is worth looking at, I think, because sold this company. They had final results out. 2024, you know, they sold, what is it? Let me just go into it. Market cap 64. I wasn't interested in this company beforehand, before they offloaded one of their one of the divisions. 64 million market cap, 85 million enterprise value. So they got debt, but that debt's been now greatly reduced or in fact removed, essentially, because, let me scroll down here, they sold their CDMO operations post-period for 62 million euros. So what's euros to pounds? Not far off, is it? So literally, that's cash equivalent. In fact, take off the debt. I suppose it's not. Take off the debt with 23 million. So they'll have about, what, 40 million of cash? And brokers are seeing an improvement on margins. I did say back when this happened, or when did it happen here? On the 12th of 5th. I said transforms VGL's balance sheet and margins. Revenue will drop, but the sale of the capital-intensive side of the business means debt is removed and PBT margins quadruple. At 50 pence a share, this would put on a forecast P of 12 with a strong balance sheet. And the forecasts going forward are looking at 44%. They've been reinstated, the figures. Restated, I mean. So now it's under 26 million for last year, 26.5 million, up to 38.4 for next year. And they're going to do net profit. Of course, some of this is adjusted of 5.4 million. That's from operations, pretty much. I think adjusted, that's that won't be the reported figure. That's the adjusted I've used here because of the profit from the sale of that company. But that would still put them on a PE of 11, 12. You know? So interesting company, worth watching, I think. Worth watching of trading updates. Water Intelligence was okay. What else is there? Hercules. Oh, yes. Let me have a look here. Water Intelligence. Final results. So they've got a market cap of 67. Enterprise value 86. Full year results. Let me scroll down to me to my comments here. Apart from debt, Water's 2024 figures were an improvement on 23. Revenue increased 10% to 61.6 million from 56. PBT was up 2% to 4.7 to 4.6. However, net debt increased 137%. They're buying back these franchisees, I think, in America, to 18.2 net debt versus 7.7. Forecasts 2025 are expected to show continued improvement, with revenue up 16%, net profit increasing 61% to 5.7. At 3.45 a share, put them on a forecast PE of 11. But if you add the debt, this would mean EV earnings ratio about 15. So not too bad. But there we are, have a look at that. That's it. There's too many. I'll cover some other companies, but that's the only ones I'm interested in. Oh, by the way, MS International came out with quite a mixed report, actually. Figures weren't... let me just go into it. It's been a bit of a winner on the share price, this. Design, manufacture, construction of servicing of a range of engineering products and structures. Defence, forging, petrol station superstructures and corporate branding. Enterprise value of 169, market cap 192. So let me scroll down here. What do I say? MS has been an excellent performer. Unfortunately, it has no broker. I have no idea if this is to save money, but judging by their website, it's probably a consideration. The website looks like it was created by, if you look at it, go to the website. It looks like it was created 10 years ago by a director's son who likes messing around on the internet. But he did a decent job for 10 years ago. Anyway, the results were mixed. Revenue increased by 7%. PBT was strongly up by 28%. Net cash dropped 33% to 23.7 million. And they generated free cash outflow of 3.6 million versus inflow of 27.6. The share price fell, I think, on three reasons. The order book at the April year end was marginally lower than the record figure reported last year. So it was a record figure. Defence, and this is the biggest part of the business, makes up 70% of the revenue. Government reviews and subsequent delay decisions, we anticipate this will impact the current financial year, but we remain very optimistic about the next two full financial years. So there were a bit of a warning there, profit warning, and also a review of the future strategic priorities of the group. So it looks like they're going to sell off all other parts of the business apart from the defence. So it's hard to understand what the numbers will look like going forward, as they have no broker. It would help if they had a broker, so we could But anyway, currently they're valued on a PE of 13. But like I said, at the moment, they've got that the order book down a bit, defence delays, which will impact this next year, and a strategic review of the company. That's it. Thanks for listening. By all means, if you want to join, there's a load more companies that have added to the database. You know, you may find something interesting in them, but I don't. No, in fact, there's two more. In fact, I was contacted by the CEO of Built Cybernetics. That's BUC. Used to be Orchid Swank. And I said, just ignore it. And he contacted me saying, have a look, please, because I think the interims were better. This is Nick Clark. Thanks, Nick, for contacting me. In fact, Nick holds 12.54% of the company. This is a market cap 6.9, enterprise value 7.1 at the last full year results. And the interim results, let me scroll down to my comments here. The results were an improvement on the previous H1. I have to admit that. Revenue increased by 12%, 10.57 million. Loss before tax improved by 91%, 142K versus 1.5 million. Net debt also improved by 71% to 498K versus 1.7 million. So Nick is correct, the numbers have improved. However, they're still loss-making, but this loss has been greatly reduced. There isn't a broker note to suggest how the numbers will look going forward, but in the company's outlook statement, they say we expect second half trading in both our divisions to be stronger than both first half of the year and second half of last year, leading to a much better full year performance than last year. They expect notable contract wins in both divisions, which in addition to their financial benefits are expected to highlight the group's capabilities and aid further organic growth. So revenue for H1 was 10.57. So if they bet this by, say, 5%, that may be conservative, they would generate 11 million for H2, given a top line of 21.6 million for 2025. This is 10% top line growth on a conservative guess. At 7 million market cap, this means Buck is trading on a sales multiple 0.3. Now, that does look cheap, especially if they can reach profitability. However, my only question is whether this profit can be material enough for investors to become interested. But currently on a price of sales metric, it does look quite cheap. So that's BUC. Check it out. Used to be Orchid Swank. Now it's Built Cybernetics. And that's it for the podcast, sharepickers.com. If you want to join, in fact, some people have joined quite a few in the last week, actually. And they've discovered it through my book and through Stockopedia, which is good. By all means, you get 25% off if you read the book and you like it enough to give me a top rating and review. Only if you like it enough, you get 25% off, which is about 50 quid, and the book only costs 15 quid. And of course, price of membership is literally, at that rate, less than half a pint of beer a week. Feed your mind, not your belly. In fact, you can do both. I'm sure you can afford half a pint of beer and membership. But check it out. And in fact, if you join, you can read that article, which took me ages to compile. 7 traits of 7-10 baggers. I learned a lot from it. Heck of a lot. So it's worth looking into. Thanks for listening, and speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.